Iowa's Blue Zones have been in place for a couple years now. Their goal is to improve the health of residents. Now that the program has been tried, this hour we hear about how it's been working. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Stanton in for Charity Nebbe. Iowa's Blue Zones project is aimed at making long-lasting upgrades to living environments. It's meant infrastructure improvements, new policies to promote healthy eating, and special events that use a lot of volunteer labor. The first four Iowa communities to be named to the Blue Zones project were Cedar Falls, Mason City, Spencer, and Waterloo. And we'll hear from a few of those and other communities to find out whether it's working. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Stanton in for Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about Iowa's Blue Zones, communities trying to improve healthy habits in a variety of ways. Later in the hour, we'll talk with community leaders of the Blue Zones. We'll talk with a woman from Cedar Rapids who was inspired to change her behavior and ended up losing more than 100 pounds. We'll talk with her coming up later in the program. But first, we're joined by Mary Lawyer, the HealthWays Iowa Blue Zones Project Director. And she joins us over the phone. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning, Ben. Thank you.
Well, glad to have you on the program. And to start things off, we want to make sure we're all on the same page and understand what the Blue Zones are. So can you give us a quick reminder about where the idea came from and what they are?
Yes. It all started when the author, Dan Buettner, was commissioned by National Geographic to find the healthiest spots in the world. And he pursued that by looking for the places that had the highest percentage of long-lived individuals, centenarians who were living long, healthy lives. And as he located those regions, he drew big blue circles around the places with the highest incidence. And he narrowed it down to five locations: Loma Linda, California; Nicoya Peninsula, Costa Rica; Sardinia, Italy; Icaria, Greece; and Okinawa, Japan. And he said, well, I wonder what's going on there. He's an adventurer, so he loaded up his backpack and took a team to find out what was going on in those places. Why were people living long, healthy lives? And he found that there were nine things that were basically in common in those places. And they range from people moved naturally. They didn't use vehicles as much. They actually had usually a faith-based religion that they participated in a couple times a month. They surrounded themselves with people who supported their behaviors. They were from the right tribe. They ate more mindfully. Usually they only ate till they were 80% full. They put their family first. Family was very important in their lives. They often had a glass of wine. If you have a healthy relationship with alcohol, a glass of wine or two. They ate more plants and less meat. They didn't eliminate meat, but they had more of a plant slant in their diet. And they knew their purpose when they got up in the morning, and they knew how to downshift.
Well, what about it? Were these things a surprise to hear? I mean, some of these things we might know. I mean, moderate exercise is something we hear, but putting it all together in one package, was it new? Was it surprising to hear that in that way?
I think you have it right. It was the package that was the surprise. It's about overall well-rounded well-being. You can have good physical health, but you might not have as great of emotional health. And this was about the whole package of well-being.
Very good. Well, now that that book, of course, was published and got a lot of attention. So then how did it come to Iowa?
Well, as Dan came back to the United States, he said, you know, why is it we can't build these things into some of our communities here in the Midwest? And he chose Albert Lea to go try and change the environment in little ways that help nudge people to make better decisions about their health and well-being. I had seen that, you know, diets, typically, you know, only 10% of people that start a diet stick with it. People who go to the health club oftentimes aren't still there a year later. And even, you know, like a multivitamin, people don't stick with those regimes. So we needed to change the environment that we live in order to nudge individuals to make healthier choices. So he started in Albert Lea, and he started working with them to do some work there. And then he partnered with our company, HealthWays, and the Blue Zones Project was born. And we took those concepts to the beach cities in California. And at the same time, Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield was looking for a way to start to address the disease trajectory here in Iowa, and found the Blue Zones Project and was brought into Iowa under a sponsorship. And so in August of 2011, Lieutenant Governor Reynolds and Governor Branstad launched the Healthiest State Initiative, and the Blue Zones Project became the cornerstone piece of that initiative, sponsored by Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield.
And so what does it mean? Now, you know, we mentioned that the sites that were named first in 2012, the first four cities, Cedar Falls, Mason City, Spencer, and Waterloo, and others have been added. But so what does it actually look like? What actually happens in a Blue Zone community?
Well, actually, they work in several different sectors. And so what happens is they work with in community policy. They make policy changes to have well-being be easier. They work in restaurants, schools, grocery stores, within work sites, and individuals take actions. So it's based on tipping point theory. There are pledges and actions that a grocery store, a school, a restaurant, a work site, and community policymakers can take. And if they do that with enough vigor, they will become a Blue Zone restaurant, a Blue Zone school, a Blue Zone's grocery store, et cetera. And so they're working towards that, and we train volunteers in the community to help each of these sectors do their work. And then we also work with individuals. We have individuals take pledges and actions that will enhance their well-being. And 20% of the citizens of a community have to pledge to take some action and actually take an action. It's things like moving naturally, getting a bicycle, eating wisely, maybe restocking their kitchen with 10-inch plates. In the 1970s, 10-inch plates were the norm. Today, 12-inch plates are the norm. That's 20% more food. So it's little things that nudge you to healthier behaviors.
And so talk a little bit more about how, you know, we're taking these concepts from communities that are on the other side of the globe, and surely that we can apply those here. But of course, we also must have some sort of customizing mechanism to make sure that it fits with what people in Iowa need and want. Is that what you're talking about now with when we talk about people making pledges?
Right.
Is that how it's customized? Are there other efforts to make sure that it fits with what Iowans want?
Well, really, in each of these sectors and for individuals, there's a menu of items that they can choose from. They don't have to do them all, but if they do a few of them, they'll help their well-being. So, for instance, the personal pledge, people can choose from items under a Move Naturally category, a Right Outlook, Eat Wisely, Connection, or Habitat. And for instance, in Habitat, they might choose to Blue Zones their kitchen. In that case, what they'd be doing is they'd be going in and maybe taking that unhealthy snack that's really good, that if you opened up the pantry door and was staring you in the face, you'd automatically grab it, and sticking it clear in the back of the pantry and putting the healthier stuff in front. So you're more likely to choose the healthy snack. So just things like that in a kitchen checklist that make the healthy choice the easy choice.
Okay, very good. We're talking with Mary Lawyer, the HealthWays Iowa Blue Zones Project Director, talking about Blue Zones and some of how that project has unfolded in Iowa. Well, let's talk about how the last 2 years have gone, Mary Lawyer. You know, these things we're describing, are they working?
They are. We now are working in 15 communities across the state, 10 larger communities and 5 smaller communities. Two of our first wave of communities have become certified, Spencer and Cedar Falls. And that doesn't mean it's the end of their journey. They still are going to keep working towards better well-being. But we've had great outcomes. In Spencer, for instance, the number of local community garden plots increased from 7 to 36. And we know consumption of fruit and vegetables is a big factor in terms of physical well-being. There's been a 10% increase in the number of kids who walk or bike to school. There's been $200,000 set aside for new sidewalk construction, and there's been drinking fountains put in all the city parks. In Cedar Falls, local grocery stores have reported water's gaining popularity, and their sales are increasing in the water categories. The mayor has put in a new bridge that across a really, really busy highway. That bridge connects a housing area where there's 5,000 residents with a industrial park where there's 7,000 workers, making it easier for them to move naturally to their workplace. The school there has instituted brain breaks that allows kids in the middle of the classroom time to get up and have some movement incorporated in their day. One of the elementary schools eliminated their pop machines. So just, you know, doing things that have helped make the healthy choice the easy choice.
more communities in Iowa are interested in, and are getting involved than just the ones we've mentioned so far. There's a growing list. Merrick, can you talk about what it takes for a community to become involved now and what it would mean for them moving forward? What do they do?
Well, we selected the 10 large communities and the 5 small communities based on their motivation, leadership, and readiness. So we've begun work now in Cedar Rapids and Muscatine and Sioux City. We'll be starting work here in February in Iowa City, Marion, and Oskaloosa. In addition, Algona, Fairfield, Harlan, Spirit Lake, and Woodbine are working on these concepts. And these are all areas that other communities can learn from. So as we do this work, they have committed that they will be teachers of sorts for other communities who want to learn how to do these things. In addition, citizens across the state and work sites across the state have Blue Zones Project tools available to them through the Blue Zones Project work site. So individuals can get online and take the personal pledge and look at the sorts of things that they can choose from to help their well-being. And there's, you know, how and why sorts of indicators in there. Work sites across the state have the same capability. Any work site in the state of Iowa can get on the BlueZonesProject.com and sign up their organization and use the tools of the pledges and the how and why to enhance the well-being of their workforce.
Well, you've described a lot of things that have happened and some things that are currently happening with the Blue Zone communities in Iowa. What is yet to come? What needs to be done? There's a lot of projects that have happened. What projects yet need to happen? And what's next moving forward?
Well, there's a lot in the plans for the upcoming communities and for the communities that have already certified. Communities like Spencer and Cedar Falls that have already certified are not done. They have a sustainability plan where they want to continue to do this work, you know, enhance the number of gardens that are available, increase the water consumption. They're not done yet. The communities that are just starting are going to be working on built environment projects that make it easier for people to walk and move in their own environments. They're going to be working in restaurants and grocery stores to enhance the amount of fruit and vegetable consumption. They're going to be working with schools to get the kids to move more naturally. So a lot of work's yet to be done, and I think it's just the beginning for the state. Once again, we're implementing these things, and these are things that all communities in the state can learn from.
What's going to be the biggest challenge in the next few years?
I think sharing the successes and getting them to spread. You know, just we're trying very hard to make sure that we are collecting metrics as we do this to show successes. And then I think that will be the driver to help other work sites, restaurants, grocery stores, community policymakers, individuals determine that, yes, we want to take this course also.
Okay, very good. Well, Mary Lawyer, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Ben.
Mary Lawyer is the HealthWays Iowa Blue Zones Project Director. Coming up, we'll be talking with a few individuals who have found personal success taking part in the Blue Zones efforts. And we want to hear from you. Have you made any changes that have made for a healthier lifestyle, whether or not it's with the Blue Zones communities? You can call us at 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100, or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Talk of Iowa, back in a few minutes. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Stanton, in for Charity Nebbe. Cities involved in Iowa's Blue Zones are coming up on 2 years of their efforts to encourage healthy lifestyles of residents. Earlier, we had an overview of the program across the state, and later, we'll talk with community leaders in Waterloo to see how it's worked there. In this portion of our program, we're hearing a couple personal success stories, and we'd like to hear from you if you have something to share. Have you made any changes that have made for a healthier lifestyle for you? We want to hear from you. You can call us at 866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Well, Lynn Stansberry lives in Cedar Rapids, and she has had a transformation that was helped in part by the Iowa Blue Zones Project. Lynn Stansberry, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm glad to have you on the program. Take us back to your previous self. In 2008, I believe, there were a number of aspects of your life that kind of came together that concerned you. What were you worried about?
Well, we were flooded, and I was not well, and I went from doctor to orthopedic surgeon to physical therapy, and they couldn't find out what was wrong with me. So we decided to go to the Mayo Clinic, and I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia and diabetes, restless leg syndrome, and I was, when I went for my evaluation, when we were finished, the doctor called me obese, and I never thought of myself. I knew I was heavy, never thought of myself as obese, morbidly obese. And I weighed 278 pounds, and I decided that I was not happy. I needed to do something, so I decided that I needed to lose weight. So I started losing weight, and the Blue Zone was just around the corner, but we didn't get it when it first came. It went to Cedar Falls and Waterloo, Spencer. And so I kept going. I took everything out of my kitchen that was not healthy and gave it all away and started buying healthy things. We eat totally different than we used to. I never ate fish. I eat fish. We eat fish probably two or three times sometimes a week. I started walking. Down the block, one block, two blocks, I got to where I could walk better, except I needed a new knee also. So I made my goal when I lost 50 pounds, I was going to have my knee replaced. So we ride our bikes in the summertime, and it was hard for me until I got my knee done. And I finally, in September, I had lost 50 pounds and decided to have my knee replaced. And now I walk. We bike all the time. I bought a new bicycle. I love it. We ride all summer. We walk. My husband has also lost 50 pounds because he eats what I make. And the Blue Zone came just at the right time for me. So I decided that it was something that I was already doing, not everything, but it was just right for me at the right time. We went to a health fair at Hawkeye Downs in Cedar Rapids, and I met the Blue Zone people and started with that.
Well, and, you know, we probably should take a minute to make sure people are – I don't think there's confusion, but in case people don't know that the Blue Zones is not a diet program, not a weight loss program. So it's not that everyone that takes part in it will have – a story like yours, but it sounds like it was an important piece of several pieces that came together just at the right time.
It was something that it was something that I was doing that I believed in, that was working for me. So, you know, the plant slant, eat more plants and vegetables, move naturally, be with the right tribe. I'm also a quilter, so I'm with friends. And I think that's important, to have friends and to be with people. And it's the socialization. Doing your kitchen, your house, you know, changing your house. Don't have things around that you can, when you're sitting watching TV and you're picking up a piece of candy and eating something like that. So things like that, that, you know, you really need to change your life.
Well, absolutely. That's one of the great challenges, though, that so many people seem to have when they are hoping to make the kinds of changes that you made, is that they change and then they change again. So what did you do to make sure that it was going to be something long term?
I took the Blue Zone pledge besides that, and just I made up my mind that I wanted to see my grandkids grow up. I wanted to see them get married. The biggest thing, my daughter started calling me the incredible shrinking woman, which made me feel very, very well. You know, it was an awesome thing. And the thing that really hit me was the first time. My grandson is 13 years old, and he gave me a hug one day and said, "Grandma, do you realize that this is the first time I've ever gotten my arms all the way around you?" And it just hit me that, you know, Here he is, 13, and he's never really given me a hug, and he's an awesome hugger, you know. So things like that, and I want to see them grow up. I want to be here when they get married, when they have children. I want to be a great grandmother someday, and you know, I needed to get myself healthy, to think better of myself. My self-confidence has went through the roof since I've done this.
Well, and that leads me to another important point. And what you're talking about isn't just that you want to be healthier so that, well, you know, healthier people live longer. And but it sounds like you're wanting to have that, what we hear a lot of times about, a better quality of life as well. And it sounds kind of like that's another part of your goal.
Yes, and I'm an active person. I go a lot. I do a lot of things, and I've volunteered for the Blue Zone, so I go out and get pledges for the Blue Zone, and I love it. I love meeting people. I've always been a people person. My mom used to say I could talk to the trees. You know, I love talking to people. So it's very easy for me to go out and do this. And I've become one of the faces of the Blue Zone here in Cedar Rapids. And I've met so many people.
What are you seeing that other people that are involved in your community, what are they doing? What are their goals? Do they align with yours?
More people are walking. We had our city analyzed by a man who goes around and does this for the Blue Zone. And he said, you know, we need more trails, more walking trails. We now have bike trails on our streets. A lot of people, it's a new thing, so people are getting used to it. And they extended our trail along our levee along the river, so that, you know, you can walk further. People roller skate on it. They ride their bikes. They walk their dogs. They just go for a walk. And it's along the river, so you can see, you know, you have a little bit of scenery in the summertime. It's harder in the wintertime to get your exercise, but we started walking more Moais in the Blue Zone that are doing at the Y's or inside at Lindale Mall. So there's a place to walk. It's hard in the winter when you can't get out because it's slippery outside. So, but it's getting better.
Very good. Well, Lynn Stansbury, congratulations on your success. It sounds like it's been very effective for you, and I'm glad that it's worked out so well. Stay with us. I want to bring another voice into the conversation. My next guest is Denny Klatt. He's a volunteer firefighter in Spencer, and he was involved in the Blue Zone's Makeover Challenge in that city. Denny Klatt, thanks for being here. Denny Klatt.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey.
Thanks for being on the program with us. We appreciate it.
You bet. Glad to be here on this cold, wintry day.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm glad to have you. And you've been listening to the program and heard a little bit about Lynn Stansbury's journey. You've had your own personal journey that started about 6 years ago. What happened?
Well, yeah, I got cancer at a very early age for prostate cancer, actually, it was. And my doctor, the urologist guy, he was like, just don't see this in young guys your age. But you never know. And I'm really thankful that doctor at the time, too, that he followed through on some checkups and discovered that. But, yeah, doing well today. I have my annual checkups yet with him and, cancer-free. So,
well, I'm glad.
It was a real blessing for me and my family, obviously.
Indeed. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're doing better. Well, why don't you talk about your first impression of this concept of Blue Zones, which we're talking about this hour. What did you first think when you heard about the Blue Zones?
Well, you know, when it started in Spencer, I was a little skeptical about, no, another this or that, you know, coming. But the more I listened and I participated in the meetings and, trying to be open-minded about it also. And I was like, yeah, you know, those are some of the things I already kind of think about, you know, doing some more stuff actively and healthy-wise. We're starting to get into some of those things. My younger daughters were getting the age where they're more adventurous, and I tell you, the community gardens we started being active in, we were one of the first seven that got started, and they just love that.
Well, talk about that. What is it, and how does it work?
Well, it's community gardens, and basically we had a guy that's just on the edge of town here that volunteered some land that we could put gardens in, and a group of us, seven of us, eight of us that put garden out there and raised our own. You know, first year we did corn and, you know, the basics, corn and tomatoes and cucumbers. And we tried to do some jack-o'-lantern pumpkins and that green beans, and we ended up canning or freezing a lot of that. And my daughters were just amazed by the flavor, and they didn't even, right now, they won't even, if somebody has a open of a can of beans or corn, they just, oh, no, that's not garden fresh. So,
well, had you had much experience gardening before?
Well, yeah, you know, I grew up on a farm, and my mother always had a big garden, so I was used to the canning process and the work involved in that. So, yeah, it was really refreshing to do that. And, you know, I've always been the belief, you know, you train these kids up when they're young like this and give them skills, life skills that they'll always remember, much the way I have remembered from the days of planting this and getting the garden ready and those kind of things.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, this idea of a community garden as part of the Blue Zones serves a number of roles. Of course, you're talking about the fresh food and how good it is, and we all know what a homegrown tomato tastes like compared to others. But you're also getting involved in the community, which seems like an important theme that we're hearing today. What does that mean to you, to be involved in the community in that way?
Oh, yeah, you know, I was getting involved in the community. I started way back, I don't know, 20 years ago, being a volunteer for the fire department, and just that community involvement, helping my fellow man, so to speak. And the gardens have been just a wonderful thing, helping each other out. We've had a little social parties, so to speak, during the garden season with all the gardeners. So, excuse me. That's been a real, you know, kind of a networking thing, building relationships. Obviously, if you're out gardening, you're working out in the environment and getting exercise. And so it's been just a win-win, I think. So,
well, talk a little. And now I understand you're part of a well-being committee in Spencer. Can you talk about what that is? What do you do?
Yeah, that's something that the city, you know, I don't want to say it's the same as the Blue Zones, but as the Blue Zones came along, and we want to do something within the city, too, for the employees and their families, we started this well-being committee. So we're actively trying to get people involved in, you know, group exercise program. I don't know if I can plug Hy-Vee doing their Live Healthy right now. I think that started Monday. And so just different things like that, exercise, whether it's spiritual, mental, physical, just opening up avenues for employees to live better and feel better and be better stewards with the taxpayers' money. Obviously, if we're all healthy employees, we're not going to have as many, you know, sick days or as many insurance claims, etc. So that's our goal, to keep everybody just fit and trim, so to speak.
Well, and you bring up a good point about the balance and, you know, doing things like community gardens or these sorts of programs, it does take resources.
Right.
And if Spencer's anything like other small towns in Iowa, I'm sure they're always debating about how to use resources appropriately. So how has that played out for you?
Exactly. You know, got to give the city credit for being really supportive of the Blue Zones and of the well-being. You know, we have another bridge, walking bridge over the river on our walking trails. We did the sidewalk initiative, too, so we're building more sidewalks here, which there was a lot of new sidewalks this past summer put in. And so it looks, you know, it's not, you can walk several different places where maybe the sidewalk wasn't so good before, or there was no sidewalk, and now you're able to walk through different places, residential.
Oh, very good. And you take advantage of that, I assume?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, talk about... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I've been mentioning that you were involved in the Makeover Challenge. I think you've kind of hinted at some of the things that might be involved with it. But what was the Makeover Challenge?
Well, that was, we're getting... for myself, some of the things I was asked to be on the first group. And as far as Makeover for our family, you know, we did a lot of things we were doing, but as far as the pledges and that part of it, you know, we ended up getting a golden retriever last July, and so we have an 8-month-old golden retriever now who's just been a blessing to our family. We are doing more biking, and next year, this year I guess it actually is, Ragbri is going to be really close here to Rock Valley, Okoboji, Emmitsburg, so we're looking at riding in that.
But going back to your new dog, you think that's helped you to be healthier?
Well, yeah, she's always wanting to go out and walk.
I suppose.
not only
Except
for
today.
Myself and my wife, but even our kids just love to take her out and walk. And if you've ever had a golden, they're always smiling and happy. So, you know, she's been quite fun to be with. So we've taken her on a couple little short trips, and she's just been really good for all that stuff. And a good conversational piece to start talking to different people, you know, that you meet on the road. So she's been good for us. And a lot of exercise, as you can imagine, with a golden.
Okay, very good. Well, quickly, we're about to take a short break. I wanted to try to squeeze in a call from Frank in Cedar Falls. Frank, go ahead. Frank in Cedar Falls, are you there? Go ahead, Frank. Go ahead.
My name is Frank Hughes. I'm from Cedar Falls, and also I'm an ambassador for Blue Zones. My son worked for Blue Zones for probably a year. And I'm in good shape. I'm a senior citizen, and the Blue Zones is a reminder for me to exercise, eat the right stuff, and have the right attitude. And that's how I'm trying to live my life right now without any medications.
Very good. Okay, well, thank you for the call, Frank. We appreciate that. You can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. We're going to take a short break. Stay with us. There's more. And I want to thank our guest, Denny Klatt, volunteer firefighter in Spencer. And he joined us over the phone. Thank you so much for being with us. And Lynn Stansberry, thank you for sharing your story today.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
Thank you so much. And again, you can join our conversation. Stay with us. You're listening to Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Stanton, in for Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're getting an update on Iowa's Blue Zone communities and those cities that are among the first four cities in Iowa to be designated a Blue Zones project is Waterloo. And Buck Clark is the mayor of Waterloo. He joins us now to talk about his city's efforts. Mayor, thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Well, glad to have you on. Last time we talked and we had you on the program was right after Waterloo was named to this project. It was almost 2 years ago. Why don't you remind us about what you saw at that time that encouraged you to take part?
Well, obviously, Ben, you know, the first and foremost, the governor's initiative to have the healthiest state in the nation certainly was an encouragement to us. And when we were approached, as were all cities in the state, to apply for a Blue Zones certification, after we kind of found out, you know, really what that was about and the nuts and bolts, we became very excited about that. You know, we want a healthier community, and we were excited at the prospects of being chosen. At that time, we hadn't been chosen, of being chosen, and we were fortunate enough that the communities pulled together, and we got the designation, and gosh, we've just been moving forward ever since.
Okay, well, how is it going?
Well, you know, it's really going quite well, and it's kind of fun. You know, the term Blue Zone still has a little bit of a, I don't know, it's kind of a catch-all. We'll still use it quite a bit in City Hall, and I had a goal-setting session with our council the other night, last Thursday night, and silly me, I ordered pizza for all of the council members, and, you know, right away the pizzas were delivered, and the first thing one of them said was, "This doesn't look very Blue Zones, Mayor," you know, so, and you hear that all over the city now as it relates to people's eating habits. People are aware of the Blue Zones, whether they're buying into it or not, and many of them are, but they're certainly aware of it, and you hear lots and lots of references to the Blue Zones and to healthy eating, so it's caught on.
Well, what you're describing sounds a little like, you know, we hear about these other cities across the globe that have people that live a very long time and try to extract some of the habits that they have and apply them to our lives. But one of the things that it seems like those cities might have is just a long-term culture of these certain habits.
Yeah.
Are you seeing that the foundation of that taking place?
Boy, it is the very early stages of that, and you used a fabulously wonderful word when you said culture, because that really is what this is about. It's a change of culture as it relates to Waterloo and Cedar Falls, in that instead of ordering a double cheeseburger and French fries, you look at that and maybe they have a healthy alternative, a turkey burger and cottage cheese or something like that. So it really is a culture shift, and we are on the very, very early beginning stages of that with our population. Now, having said that, our schools and our businesses and our industries and churches, et cetera, are really adopting the Blue Zones philosophy. But I think the culture shift with all of our citizens will probably come a little bit slower, although I think it will come.
We're talking with Buck Clark, the mayor of Waterloo, about the Blue Zones project, and in particular that city. Well, what about you're talking about this culture, but what about, are there policy initiatives along those lines?
There are policy initiatives. Part of them have been to require healthier alternatives in our vending machines in the schools. And the city has adopted that also, by the way, and that I believe is in effect. We adopted, we being the city council, adopted late last fall a complete streets program, which was part of the requirement for the Blue Zones folks that. As we redo streets in the city, whether not necessarily the overlay of the streets, but if we replace a street or if we are building new streets, that we are now required to look at what's called a complete street, which not just you don't just put in a street and curb and gutter and go on about your business. You look at sidewalks and the bikeability, walkability of those streets. So we have adopted at least those two resolutions to try to conform with the complete streets policy and to with the healthy food in our vending machines policy, and we are doing both of those in the city.
Well, I know 2 years is a short amount of time to determine if those kinds of efforts are specifically making the kinds of differences that you want to make.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can cite any results that you have, or if not, what are some benchmarks that you will use in the future to know whether what you're doing is working?
Well, you know, I don't know that I have a really good answer for that, Ben. I'm not sure. We're kind of looking forward to see what those benchmarks might be as far as the statistical end of this as we kind of continue on down the road. 2 years is too short of a time, I think, to expect earth-shaking results. I know that personally, when we got into the Blue Zones project, I thought, you know, this would be a little bit silly. I was about 25 to 30 pounds overweight, according to my index, and I changed my lifestyle personally. That's just one person, but I've dropped 27 pounds since we started, and I'm down to my fighting weight, and had to get some pants altered and so forth. So it had a very positive effect on me. I know my wife has also changed her eating habits, and some folks in City Hall have. So I know that it has had a positive effect on individuals that I can point to that have changed their eating habit. And maybe it was the Blue Zones that just kind of pushed them to that. They were always intending to do that, and then they just did. But it really helps now when you go to our grocery stores, and you will see in the grocery aisles a reconfiguration of the healthy foods are closer to the door. They're closer to the ends of the aisles. They're all labeled Blue Zone acceptable or Blue Zone compatible or something like that. So it's in your face in Waterloo that we care about healthy living and healthy lifestyles. And certainly with our recently opened Cedar Valley Sportsplex, we are going to be providing, as a city, all kinds of opportunity for exercise and working out and sporting stuff during the winter months, where before people might have had a hard time to find a place to hit a golf ball or to throw a football or to play soccer and so forth. And so we're very much in partnership and in tune with the Blue Zones folks as we designed and built the Sportsplex.
Well, you earlier were talking about your own personal story. Congratulations on your success. It sounds like it worked for you and some people that you know. But more broadly, are people that you're hoping to participate taking part? What is the participation level?
You know, I don't know, Ben. I don't. I mean, as far as individually, how many people in Waterloo have changed their lifestyle or changed their culture because of this? I don't have those statistics. I just don't know. So I don't have a good answer for that.
Okay, very good. Well, going back to grocery stores, you know, changing that layout certainly does make a big difference, I'm sure, as you walk in the store to see certain things. But, you know, of course, grocery stores are businesses and they need to sell. They need to run a business. And
right.
So talk about that balance a little bit. How does that partnership work to find the in-between?
Well, the partnership, I think, is working very good. And we have a wonderful, wonderful person that's the director of our Blue Zones program up here in Miss Sue Beach, who is her name. And she does a great job. She's done a great job in our communities in fostering those relationships with all of our partners. Again, I mentioned them earlier, the hospitals and the grocery stores and the schools and all of those institutions. But, you know, you're right. A grocery business is a retail business. Those folks are there to make a profit. That's why they exist. But I haven't seen any of them closing or having less business because they rearrange their aisles. And I have a feeling if you're looking for a half gallon of Rocky Road ice cream, you're going to find it, whether it's at the front of the aisle or not. And, you know, maybe with the peaches and the strawberries and the bananas being at the front of the aisle instead of the chocolates and the Hershey's and so forth, they'll still spend the same amount of money. They'll just spend it on more healthy foods, which is certainly our hope. And we have not gotten any resistance or pushback from our grocery stores because of that request.
Well, quickly, before we let you go, I looked at the future a little bit. I know there's the option of becoming a Blue Zone certified community. Is that something you're looking at doing?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that we are very, very close to being at that point. And that is the goal, to becoming Blue Zone certified. And we had just a couple of little items that we had to get off the checklist to get there. We will get there before the end of June, and I think that's the deadline, and we will get there. Absolutely.
Okay, Mayor. Well, good luck in the future, and thank you for talking with us today.
Thanks, Ben. You're more than welcome.
Buck Clark is the mayor of Waterloo, that city among the first four cities in Iowa to be designated a Blue Zone project, and that happened about 2 years ago. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio, and we've been talking about Iowa's Blue Zones this hour, communities trying to improve the healthy habits of their residents in a variety of ways. And now we'd like to talk a little bit about children. And joining us on the program now, Crystal Buzza, the Director of Strategic Partnerships for Waterloo School District and School Policy Committee Co-Chair for the Blue Zones Project. Crystal Buzza, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Ben. It's great to be on.
I thought we could jump right into an idea that has been around for a long time, I believe. That is the tradition of birthday snacks.
That's right.
Right. You know, I don't, you know, when I was growing up and probably in recent years too, every time there's a birthday or a special event or there had to be treats, usually something not so healthy, cookies or cupcakes. I mean, nothing against those things, but maybe you can talk about that tradition isn't always the case and maybe it's changing a little bit.
Exactly. That's exactly right, Ben. Because of the Blue Zones project, we have had the opportunity at our schools, particularly our elementary schools, to really look at how we do birthday treats. And traditionally, when I was younger growing up, you know, my mom would make cupcakes or we would do something like that, cookies, you know, and bring them to school. But we know that bringing those things, it gives kids a quick rush of sugar, and then they immediately crash after they have that. But having snacks is very important during the school day because for a lot of our elementary kids, they eat lunch really early. And so we need to find something during that midday time that's healthy for them, that can sustain them and keep them going longer. So, you know, rather than telling parents, okay, you can't bring birthday treats, we're trying to find different alternatives. And a couple of our schools, two of them in particular that are already Blue Zone designated schools, Orange Elementary and Kittrell Elementary, are strongly encouraging. In fact, they give parents a list of healthy snack birthday options. And some of those things would include, you know, fresh fruits or Go-Gurts or even pretzels, or just really looking at the packaging and seeing, you know, what is the calorie intake that they're having and how much sodium are we giving our kids? Because that's one thing, that we tend to pack a lot of salt into some of our prepackaged foods and we don't realize, you know, what that is doing to our children. But another benefit, actually one of the schools that hasn't quite been Blue Zone designated yet, they actually are encouraging parents not to do birthday treats and instead just celebrating the child the entire day. And for us, the benefit of that is, think about each class is about 20 kids. And so 20 times throughout the year you have an interruption, which could take up to a half hour of learning time. And then you have all those other things that happen. Like, for example, today it was really cold, and so we had a two-hour delay. And so any way we can give our kids more active time in school, and that doesn't mean we don't recognize that child on their birthday. We make it a very special point to make sure everybody tells them happy birthday. Every teacher comes up and tells them something. And then at the end of the day, we pick one day during the week, and it's usually on Wednesday, right before dismissal time, about for 10 minutes, they get to go to the PE teachers, to the gym, and they get to play. They just get to run around, and they can play Frisbee with the teacher or whatever it is that they want to do, and they do team games. And kids have loved that. And, you know, me as a parent, that kind of sounds great, because now I'm not having to think about what am I going to make at 10 o'clock at night for my daughter to hand out for her birthday.
That's right. And I imagine, I mean, not to jump to a conclusion here about how the kids react to either having a healthy snack or no snack, but if they don't see the cupcake that they're not having, then it makes it a lot easier for them not to have it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, it also makes it easier so that way if the school, like Orange, you know, they're not bringing sugary treats into the school, so that kid's not coming to school with the cookies, and then the teacher's saying, oh, we're not going to do that. So they'll swap out. You know, that's the other thing that we'll do. Just in case, you know, the child brings in something, teachers have stuff in their classroom, so the kid can still hand out something as their birthday treat. It just might not be the sugar cookies with all the sprinkles on it.
Well, you mentioned you're a mother as well. And how old are your kids, if I may ask?
I have two girls, one that is actually going to be 6 on Monday, and then another daughter that is 3 years old. And so, you know, making sure that they're aware of what they're eating is very important to my husband and I as well.
And we'll talk about also, I don't know if this is part of the Blue Zones project or just maybe a change in the culture of schools, but are kids evaluating what they're eating, at least in different ways, or maybe they weren't previously evaluating it at all? But it seems like I'm seeing some kids that are paying attention to what they're eating.
Absolutely. Kids are really, I think, aware of what they're eating and aware of what their parents are eating as well. For example, I just happened to mention that my family, we're on the run. Both my husband and I are full-time employed, and so, you know, snack time sometimes is in the car. And so we always try to make sure that, you know, if we're going to give them a snack, it's something really healthy, and that if it's, you know, something not as healthy, we tell them it's a once-in-a-while treat. And it's kind of funny because my daughter really pays attention. My soon-to-be 6-year-old Avery, she's always watching what it is that she's eating or what we're eating. And one day I'd given her crackers in the car to eat, and she's looking at the packaging, and then she kind of looks at me and my husband, Aaron, and she said, so is there a lot of protein in this? You know, and I thought at the age of 5, I probably would have never thought to ask,
right,
is there protein in this food? But, you know, for her, no, it wasn't. But that was a great opportunity for us to tell her, no, but, you know, like what you had this morning, yogurt, or when you have a cheese stick, that's a really good protein food for you to have.
Well, very quickly, Crystal Buzzo, we're about out of time, but what's in the future for what's happening in the schools with Blue Zones?
Absolutely. For Waterloo schools specifically, some big things coming on. We have two more schools that we're working to get designated, and that will really help our city, Waterloo, to get to that Blue Zone designation as a community. And so for our schools, really, even schools that aren't being designated, our big push at the Waterloo schools is we're really looking at gardens. A lot of our schools are doing some gardens, which has been a great project with Hy-Vee and Iowa State Extension, and then also looking at some of the curriculum that Blue Zones offers, like the Blue Zones Challenge.
Very good. Crystal Buzza, Director of Strategic Partnerships for Waterloo School District and School Policy Committee, co-chair for Blue Zones Projects. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. Talk of Iowa is produced by Emily Woodbury, Dennis Reese, and Sarah Bowden. Executive producer of Talk Shows is Catherine Perkins. And the host of River to River, Ben Kiefer, is here with me now. What's coming up at noon?
Hi, Ben. The renewable fuel standard set forth in 2007, the proposal is to reduce that. So we'll find out the effects of that and ask the bigger questions. How good is ethanol for our state, our country, and our world? Coming up at noon.
Very good. Thank you. We'll look forward to that. Well, for Charity Nebbe, I'm Ben Stanton. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.